Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I certainly hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're over your carbohydrate coma by now and getting back to regular life. I don't know about you, but this last 4 days, to me, feels like I had like 10 days off. I don't know what the deal is with that. And I talked to a bunch of people during the day today and even yesterday, and people felt the same way. I don't know, maybe because in Raleigh, North Carolina, it was kind of dreary and rainy for a couple of days, and that tends to make it feel like it takes longer than it actually should. But I hope you had that time to enjoy your family and some friends and some time off. And it was good to have a couple days away from the studio, but we're back at it today. And, of course, it is the first Monday of the month, December 2nd. So we'll be spending the whole hour talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. As always, landmarkgold.com is the website, landmarkgold.com. Before we jump into that, last week I was able to give away a bunch of tickets to this really cool concert with 10th Avenue North that's going to be here in Raleigh this Thursday. They're just a great contemporary Christian band. And it's called a Raleigh Jolly Christmas. It features their thing that they're doing called Decade the Halls. They actually do, starting in the 1920s, they do a Christmas song in the style of that decade, all the way from the 1920s to the current day. And Mike, the lead singer of 10th Avenue North, is hilarious. They're a great band. So that's here locally this Thursday at 7 p.m. I've got tickets that I can give away. So the first 10 callers today, this Thursday, December 5th, at the Lincoln Theater in downtown Raleigh from about 7 to 9 p.m. And it's a busy place. It's kind of a standing concert place. It'll be a lot of fun. Plus, there's a stand-up comic who's actually Andy Stanley's son, Andrew. That would be the grandson of Charles Stanley. Really, really funny. He called in recently as well. So I have some free tickets for you. We're going to take the first 10 callers. So if you give us a call during the hour today as we talk to David Fisher, then we'll get you hooked up and get you some free tickets. It's going to be a blast this Thursday night. I'll be there with my family. So give us a call. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH, first 10 callers, and we'll give you tickets for you and your family to come join us Thursday night with 10th Avenue North. A great way to kick off the Christmas season. And our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital standing by live on Skype. So if you're with Facebook Live today, you actually get to see David as opposed to just hearing him. How are you, buddy? How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was incredible. I think the leftovers are still happening right now. Maybe that's why I feel a little bit like the people in Raleigh, a little sluggish today, although it's only 46 degrees. That's cold for us, really.
Wow, 46 in Phoenix.
46, that's the low in Phoenix.
Wow, I didn't even know it got that cold over there.
Yeah, very rarely, but so we're having turkey soup, you know, it keeps us warm.
Oh, excellent. There you go. Yeah. It's kind of funny having turkey soup in Phoenix when it's 46 and just,
I know the rest of the world can't relate to that idea, but
yeah, we just kind of throw on a fleece coat, but you guys go for the soup. So that's pretty funny. It's all a matter of perspective. Anyway, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here. And we've got a lot to cover today. We're going to talk about the stock market, China, U.S. trade, the Fed, as always, interest rates, injecting capital, the global debt, and then the C word, collapse, which has been out there from a central bank, and understanding gold in the context of all of that. So we have a lot of things to cover. But stock market, I didn't know this until you just told me, not doing very well at all today, down almost 270 points.
Yeah, it's mainly because of a couple factors. The President Trump tweeted as a result of what caused this, which is the Institute of Supply Management, which is a entity that puts out an index, and that index relates to how well manufacturing is being done, and it's down the fourth straight month in a row. To put it in perspective, January of 2018, the index was 60 on a scale of 1 to 100, okay? So it was 60, which is anything above 50 is good news, which means manufacturing is growing. Anything below a 50 is bad news. Last month, we were at 48.3, and this month, we came in at 47.2. So this is the lowest of orders of manufacturing since April of 2009. So it's not a good report. It's a soft report, in other words.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, earth-shattering or anything like that. But it's a fall. It represents that there's a fall in purchases of manufacturing. And the economists are saying, Steve, that this could go a bit further. And as, you know, next month fall even more. As a result of that, though, President Trump tweeted, I'll just read his tweet.
I was going to say, if it was not an earth, I mean, a slowdown kind of report and not earth shattering, a soft report, as you said. But then yeah. Trump tweets and it goes from a soft report to a bombshell, I guess.
Yeah, we were only down like 15, 20 points in the Dow. And then President Trump tweets and now we're down 200 plus points, 268 as we're talking. He says this in his tweet. Brazil and Argentina have been presiding over a massive devaluation of their currencies, which is not good for our U.S. farmers. Therefore, effective immediately, I will restore all tariffs on steel and aluminum that is shipped into the U.S. from these countries. The Federal Reserve should likewise act so that these countries, in which there are many, no longer can take advantage of our strong dollar by further devaluing their own currencies. This makes it very hard for our manufacturing and our farmers to fairly export their goods, lower rates, and loosen Fed. So that's what's happening, and the markets didn't like that. While that's happening, China's been signing trade agreements with Brazil and Argentina for agricultural products, and they're, you know, not continuing the supply chain lines that we've established with them for decades, and they're looking other ways to get what they need.
So is this just going to be this ongoing back and forth between President Trump and China? They throw something, he throws something, because he's playing based on one set of rules. They're playing on a totally different basis because they're in a guilt, honor, shame society over there. So is this just going to be the same thing over and over again? Will we actually ever get a phase one agreement, especially this year?
Well, we were supposed to get it this year, but it has to happen by December 15th, Steve. Otherwise, all the tariffs that were suspended about 6 weeks ago go into full effect on December 16th. So it looks like by all shapes and means that President Trump and China is not going to sign a phase one trade agreement. China's even retaliating more and saying, we demand that you lift all tariffs, current tariffs, across the board for us to have an agreement on phase one. And President Trump retaliated and signed a...
Well, hold that thought. We're coming up on a break. Hold that thought. We're talking to David Fisher. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is the website for great information and education. LandmarkGold.com, China versus America. We'll pick it up.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the first Monday in December. Can you believe it? Boy, they got here quick. December 2nd, so we're, of course, doing a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com, especially a couple the brand-new newsletter that I want you to check out called Central Bank Issues Dire Warning Collapse, which you don't hear out of central banks very often. That's a big deal. You need to find out about that, as well as a new white paper called The Coming Bail-In, which we talk about pretty regularly when we've got David on the show talking about what the government might have to do if conditions continue to go down the tubes. Economically, we're going to talk about our debt and international debt, global debt, a little bit later in the show. But wanted to remind you, this Thursday night here in Raleigh, we've got the 10th Avenue North, great band, great Christian contemporary band, doing a really fun Christmas show this Thursday night called Decade the Halls at the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh from 7 to 9 p.m. We have some free tickets, so if you want to take advantage of that, first 10 callers today, 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-348-7884. If you are on Facebook Live and you happen to live here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, you need to make that call as well. We just need your name and your email address and how many tickets you want, and then we'll get you taken care of. It'll be a blast this Thursday night. I will be there with my family as well. 866-348-7884 for those free 10th Avenue North tickets, or 866-34-TRUTH this Thursday, December 5th here in Raleigh. So make sure you take advantage of that. We would love to give some tickets to you and your family to come help kick off the Christmas season. Talking to David Fisher today about what's going on with the U.S.-China war going back and forth, the trade war, which you said, David, these tariffs would go in December 16th, and China's saying remove them all. Trump's signed that temporary restraining order, for lack of a better words. So these are probably going to hit on December 16th. And then what's the market going to do? And then what's gold going to do?
Well, historically, when they have negative information about the trade, you know, stocks don't do well. Gold usually does well. And I'm going to make the assumption that if tariffs go into effect, that's going to be horrendous for the future economic near-term development, and stocks will pull back significantly, I would think. And when we've talked about tariffs being implemented in the past, certainly that's been the case. We're talking about a full-fledged implementation of massive amounts of tariffs this time on December 16th. So it could be, to the extent of the amount of tariffs going on, if you put that in correlation to the market pullback, it could be a significant pullback on the 16th of December. So, you know, this is why Fidelity came out recently and issued since the last time I was on your program, issued a massive warning to their baby boomers, saying, you guys are setting yourself up for a big downturn. You're saying that the message from Fidelity Investments came on the third quarter retirement report to boomers generation, setting that they're betting on stocks to boost their 401k returns and exposing them to unnecessary risk, running the risk of a serious loss in the market meltdown that could happen. So,
and that was Fidelity Investments that said that.
Fidelity Investment in the third quarter retirement report called Boomers. So
that's pretty strong language coming out of Fidelity.
Yeah, Fidelity, I've never heard them talk that way. So something is up for week after week, billionaires or a major entity, you know, comes forward and says something very surprising. We're in that surprise, with words, that's kind of goes with President Trump, in reference to how he, tries to send a message. And now Fidelity is sending a very strong message of beware.
So a trouble on the horizon. And like you said, whether it's billionaire hedge fund managers, billionaires, entire investment groups talking like this, what will the Federal Reserve do? Well, are they going to lower rates? Are they going to continue to kind of loosen their monetary policy in order? It's like the tsunami's coming and they're trying to do all they can to ignore the fact that it's out there, or to try to set the terms of the game as to not get flooded by it.
Well, if the Fed creates the problem, then they fix the problem by creating another problem. And that's what's really happening. As I said on your program over a year and a half ago, I said, watch, the Fed is going to lower rates to a quarter of a point. We're at 2% right now. I'm still a belief that they're going to lower rates. I also said that they're going to do a quantitative easing program, but they won't call it QE, and look at what they're doing. So we are going to go to lower rates. The world is, and President Trump is going to push the Fed to a lower rate. But the Fed, unfortunately, Steve, is not getting what you call bang for their buck. They're watching as much money as they're injecting currently in the system. And it's just ridiculous, the amount of money that they're injecting. $3 trillion is what it's going to turn out to be by the Fed's calculations in the next year and a half, when they're finally done with this program, if they become done at that point. But what they're finding out is that they remain unable to stoke inflation.
Yeah.
In other words, they have this 2% cap where they want to keep that below that, and they actually need some inflationary environment right now. This policy was started in 2012, but a speech that was done recently by one of the Fed presidents came out and said they're now might adopt a so-called strategy called a makeup strategy, where they might allow certain asset prices to rise beyond the 2%. Because if you look at real estate hasn't done very well in this low interest monetary policy with injecting trillions of dollars into the system, or billions. We're getting to a trillion here close. So real estate hasn't done very well, and stocks, in comparison to what they did before in previous QEs, has not rose that much precipitously compared to the amount of money they're injecting in the system. So there's consumer and investor expectations that are being factored in, and they're not seeing the huge returns that they saw previously in 9, 10, 11, and 12 under QE 1, 2, and 3. So the Fed is now entertaining the idea of resorting to a new policy. We'll find that out. It'll probably come out sometime next year if they're just don't entertain it, but implement something.
Well,
so it's crazy.
When would the next opportunity for an interest rate drop come?
It'll be sometime, well, they talked about having one at the end of the year here in mid-December, which would be, correlate with sometime around the tariffs being implemented. So, but they haven't really said anything recently, and the economists are not even projecting that the Fed would lower the rates another term, but another quarter of a point on the fourth quarter here. So then we get into next year. But right now, the Fed is not saying a whole lot. They're just kind of watching and waiting. And typically, you know, investors and traders kind of after Thanksgiving, they kind of take a hiatus. So the market is just kind of not, there's not a lot of volume going on. So there's a lot of guesswork that to see if the Fed's going to do anything before the end of the year.
Now, Donald Trump, unlike most presidents before him, is actively communicating about the Fed. I mean, he's hammering them pretty regularly. So how would you boil down Donald Trump's position on the Fed this year and what he wants them to do?
Well, President Trump thinks the Fed is lost touch with reality of what's happening. Yet the Fed doesn't, you know, in reference to they should be at a quarter of a point. You know, we should be 1.75% lower than we are right now, and they should be injecting two or three times as much money in the system, which we're injecting, you know, $50+ billion a day in the system, up to $80 billion a day. That's an enormous amount of capital being injected. So, but the problem is that if you start that right now, when you get to a recession, you have no more bullets left
in
your chamber.
Right, you're done. Well, I'm going to pick it up there because we're talking about something that leads to debt, as not just the U.S. debt, but global debt. That's a super important topic. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break with David Fisher with Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, LandmarkGold.com. This is Steve Noble on Money Monday. We'll be right back.
Tata.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, a full Money Monday today as we do the first Monday of every month. And we do that. We talk about finances regularly here and coming at the kind of fiscal policy of the U.S., what's going on with the banking system, what's going on with the stock market, what's going on with precious metals, what's going on around the world because we live in a global society now. And the reason that we talk about it regularly is because, well, the Bible talks about it regularly. Jesus talked a lot about money. It's all over both the Old and the New Testament. Get this, 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels alone, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. So God knew it would be a challenge for us because of our hearts, because of our, whether you have a lot of it or you don't have much at all, it can be a challenge for all of us. I don't think anybody's immune from that, which is why Scripture deals with it a lot and why we talk about it here regularly. Scripture talks about it regularly. We're going to talk about it regularly on the show. And for that, we have God to thank for our good friend David Fisher, who brings 25 plus years now, isn't it, David, in the industry?
I'm on my 26th year in the industry.
Wow, that's awesome.
25 plus, yep.
And our brother in Christ, a former youth pastor, don't hold that against him, and just joins us every Monday. So we do the last segment of all the other Mondays in a month. We just do a little update, but the first Monday of the month, we do a full Money Monday show talking about all these different issues. And we've been talking about stock markets, China and U.S. trade, and what's going on there, the Federal Reserve. And right now, we brought it up a little bit, but I want to make sure we handle this more completely, talking about the current debt, and not just here in the U.S., but around the world. So I'm looking at the U.S. National Debt Clock, which is just usdebtclock.org. Friends, if you have never pulled that up on your website or your phone or wherever, there's actually a U.S. Debt Clock app now, of course. But go to usdebtclock.org and look at it for yourself. I'm staring at it right now. This is in real time. The U.S. national debt, $366 million. And then about $100,000 is added about every 2 to 3 seconds is being added to that. In the red, going in the wrong direction. You push it forward 3 years, which you can do at the U.S. Debt Clock, and you're looking at almost $30 trillion. And that's just U.S. national debt, okay? That's what we're adding to every year. We have a federal budget deficit, which is what we're overspending in the year. And then that gets added to the U.S. national debt, which is how much we have cumulatively. And it's not just the debt in our country, David, but it's global debt around the world, right? This is a big, big deal that nobody's talking about often enough.
You know, we've gone a decade, Steve, of having easy money, quantitative easing, not just by the Fed, but by the European Monetary Union, the Bank of Japan. This left the world with a record debt of $250 trillion.
Wow.
According to the Bank of International Settlements and the International Monetary Fund, this is going to grow another $5 trillion just in the next 4 weeks by the end of the year. So $255 trillion is the projected total debt structure of the world, which, if you boil it down to every man, woman, and child on the earth, they would all owe $32,500. So a lot, I mean, just staggering, trying to get your arms around that. But the thing that staggers or is most concerning to me is, you know, it's, yeah, let's see what's happening in the rest of the world, but let's bring it back to how this will affect us,
yeah,
our homeland. When you look at the corporate debt of America, American companies in that number of $250 trillion, American companies alone account for 70% of the total corporate defaults globally. It's a record of economic trend. Here we are in a record number of economic expansion, and the defaults in corporate debt is at 70% in America.
Yeah, that's
so
insane.
It's insane because, you know, a lot of these companies don't have to create a profit. They create a shell company. They want you to buy their stock. It rises on the hopes that they will produce a profit. And that's a model that didn't work in the dot-com craze in 2001. And it still doesn't work today. But it's an ever-growing number that when you connect those numbers to real investors, because people invest in that, and when the news comes out, this is going to leave a lot of people financially challenged when that stock goes down, or if they're tied into another good company called systemic risk, this just creates a whole nother problem. So, you know, even if debt is as cheap as it is right now, it can be tough, very tough, to escape the load that debt will take on when the economy does go through a downturn.
Right.
Because you got, at some point in time, you got to finance the debt, but the plan for the world economy to get out of debt that's hooked on debt is to create more debt. And that does not work, last time I checked.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to drag some end times eschatology and theology into this, this is what I always reduce this. And I look, you look at these types of things, go, it's unsustainable. We've got this $250 trillion around the world. We're going to add $5 trillion to that in the next 4 weeks before the end of 2019. And boy, when you have an option for this incredibly gregarious, apparently very brilliant one world leader, people are going to go, yeah, I'm down for that, because this is such a train wreck. There's got to be an answer. Everybody naturally wants a savior, but it's really remarkable. So we hear $250 trillion in debt, but you don't have any context for that. So you don't really know, is that actually a big number? If I say, hey, listen, I owe, the Noble family owes $290,000. That's, we have $290,000 in debt. And you go, oh man, that's a big problem. What's your net worth? And I say it's $29 million. Then nobody cares. It's 1% of my net worth. Who cares? So how big of a problem is this? I mean, functionally. Because we hear the number, and that's a big number, but relative to the size of the world economy and everything, what's the overall, kind of the overall general problem that we're looking at? Is it the same problem, David, that we would have in our own homes?
Oh, it's magnifying much more than that, because we're talking about sovereign debt and corporate bonds, or excuse me, countries who issue treasury bonds, treasury notes, things like that. This is, there's $12 trillion of that. That's what you call negative interest rates. So in other words, all this money has to get serviced, and it's much bigger. To put it into perspective, in 2008, the global debt was $110 trillion. So it's gone up from 110 to 250. So, and this is insane. The economies haven't grown from the same equivalency from 110 to 250 to suffice and manage that debt. The debt is outpacing the economic growth. And this is a report that came out from Bloomberg News here just 2 weeks ago that we talked about on your radio program. So we're digging ourselves deeper and deeper every time the world creates more debt with no solution or no curtailing this. It's like we're in an attic. We're hooked on the drug called debt. And at some point, the getting off the drug will be forced by the market to get off the drug, just like, you know, in 2008 forced the environment of change, saying, hey, you can't overextend and leverage. You can't have four or five houses that you can't even afford one and buy it on credit and, you know, an interest loan only. That type of behavior, that is the same type of behavior that governments have now done and central banks have done. So when the day of reckoning comes, this is going to be much more horrendous. Let me put it to you this way. There's two guys I've talked about, and we might be cut off by the break, so interrupt at any time.
No, we're fine.
Steve. Ray Dalio, a billionaire, an American who loves America, Paul Tudor Jones, a billionaire, also the same, who have been warning these same things I've been saying, a lot of quotes, I get them from them and a lot of other billionaires. They just spoke at a Greenwich investment forum over a week ago, and here's what they said. Clearly, the U.S. economy is one of the most punishing downturns, is getting ready for the most punishing downturns in history. The low interest rate policy we're pursuing is creating an excess, and that excess in our public is in our public deficits, which at the current pace is less than 10 years, we will have exceeded the thresholds where Greece had its issues. So less than 10 years away, we will be structurally just like Greece. Dalio goes on and says, the number of companies producing earnings is the lowest since the dot-com bubble because companies can sell dreams rather than earnings.
Oh, man.
And that's thanks to $15 trillion sloshing around in the financial system injected by central banks.
I mean, the question
it's
here
insanity.
Is, it's insanity, and it's going to hit the brakes sooner or later. It's just like somebody goes, you can't sustain it forever. So whether they, because I don't think they're ever going to change. I don't think the powers that be are going to all of a sudden sober up one day. I think there's going to have to be a worldwide kind of collapse. And then you realize, okay, we change our ways or there's really no way out of it. And then it's forced upon you. But I don't know how it's going to happen before that.
Well, you're speaking on the next quote I was going to say. Here's his next quote. In my opinion, this is not me saying, this is a billionaire who's saying this, who studied the financial system. He's saying, in my opinion, we're near the end. In the late stages of our reserve currency, it's a fiat monetary system. Not only do we have negative rates, but we're going to have much higher deficits. That's not only half the story, because the larger story is the unfulfilled liabilities and the pension liabilities and the debt liabilities.
Wow.
So everything that I've been sharing for the last year and a half, summarize it by a billionaire saying we're at the tail end of this thing.
Yeah, they're not billionaires because they're idiots. And so we have to talk about storing up your treasures in heaven. We need to be good stewards down here. But if you're tying your cart to that horse, you're going to be nothing but disappointed and in big trouble. That's why it's important that we keep having these conversations. Talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We're going to talk about collapse and what about precious metals and about gold when we come back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hey, special shout out to all my Raleigh area friends this Thursday night. A great Christmas concert called Decade the Halls with 10th Avenue North, a great contemporary Christian band. You're probably familiar with them, but we're giving away free tickets for the next couple days. So the first several callers today will get you hooked up. We just need your name, your email address, and how many tickets you want. This Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m., a great way to kick off the Christmas season here in Raleigh at the Lincoln Theater, downtown Raleigh. It'll be a blast. They call it Decade the Hall. So it's 10th Avenue North, and they literally do a Christmas song in the style of each decade, that decade's musical style. So it's a lot of fun. Mike, the lead singer, 10th Avenue North, is a lot of fun. Very engaging guy, great with a crowd. But this isn't going to be an enormous crowd. There might be 400 people at the most. So it'll be a really intimate setting and a lot of fun. But we want to give you some free tickets for that. So call in before the show is over today, and we will get you hooked up for this Thursday night, December 5th, in downtown Raleigh with 10th Avenue North. 866-348-7884 is always our number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH if you're here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area this Thursday night. Come join us. I'll be down there with my family. It'll be a great night. So call in and we'll get you some free tickets. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Gold today, landmarkgold.com. A few weeks back, you talked about this. This was a real shocker. Out of a central bank, the Dutch central bank, using the word collapse. So let's revisit that. And is there any other news, any other central banks talking that kind of language?
Yeah, the Dutch Central Bank, you know, and keep in mind, a central bank is very, very particular about what kind of words they say. Every word they hold very important, and want to make sure they make the message really clear. So for the Dutch Central Bank, say, and they said this on their website, so it's not hearsay, they said it. They put it out in print. They said, quote, if the system collapses, just to say that alone.
Yeah, gosh.
I've been doing this 26 years. I've never heard a central bank say, what would happen if the system collapses? They've never heard them even talk that way. So they just put it on black and white. If the system collapses, gold can serve as a basis to build it up again. They went on to say gold is the trust anchor for the financial system. If the whole system collapses, they say it twice.
Yeah.
That is shocking. First of all, let me explain. When we're talking a collapse, they're talking about having to reset the system. What they're not saying is you're going to have to go to the grocery store with your gold or silver. What they're saying is they're going to have to reset the monetary system and partially back the currency by gold. That's what they mean by that. So I don't ever propel the idea that the system is going to collapse, one. I don't ever propel the idea that, two, you're going to use gold and silver as a monetary financial tool to go to the grocery store and buy your groceries, just like you wouldn't use stock, bonds, or mutual funds or treasury bills. It's a hedge against if the system collapsed. If the currency came down a whole bunch, the teeter-totter on the other side would go up. Now, you asked me if there's any new news. Besides all the points of that I've been saying, hey, look at what the billionaires are saying. I mean, those are indirectly saying the same thing. They're reading off the same set of pages and pretty much probably shocked as much as I am, if not maybe more. But when the Central Bank of Dutch said we're going to move our gold to a secure military facility, they're not only saying something, they're doing something about it. And as a result of that, other central banks have since then repatriated gold. What is repatriation of gold? It's when a central bank owns gold, but they don't hold it in their own vaults. It's held at like maybe the New York Fed. Like Germany, prior to World War II, shipped a lot of its gold over to the New York Fed. And in 2013, Germany, for the first time in decades, since the 40s, said, we want our gold back.
Wow.
The Fed did not want to give that gold back, and it took them 3 years to fully repatriate that gold, and a lot of pressure on the Fed. So 300 tons of gold came back from Germany it took them about 3 years to get that, which sounds insane. Imagine you owning something, your friend holding it, and saying, just, hey, can you give that back to me? And they're not wanting to do that.
Right,
that's
right.
In and of itself says there's a problem. But since this announcement by the Dutch Central Bank, Poland has repatriated 100 tons of gold. Hungary has repatriated 3 tons of gold.
So they want their gold inside the confines of their country.
Exactly. And Serbia has repatriated 9 tons of gold. Now, 3 tons of gold, 9 tons of gold, it's not a lot of gold. But in reference to the amount of gold holdings and the size of the country, that's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So why all of a sudden are all these European countries saying there's a big issue going on financially and we're going to do something with our actions? We're going to get a hold of our gold because he who holds the gold makes the rules, as this old adage goes.
Sure, of course.
So there's something, some action that is I've never seen in 25 years of just not a huge announcement called a collapse, but action behind that announcement on multiple central banks that says something is up.
All right. I got a couple of good because we wanted to talk about kind of do you think most Americans understand gold? So I've got two comments coming in from Facebook Live. So Mark says, so if you have all this physical gold and you won't spend it at the grocery store, what do you do with it? Why have physical gold?
So a $20 bill and a $20 gold piece used to be the same value, and I could buy this suit that I'm wearing today for $20 and pay in the 1920s when gold, our currency was backed 100% by gold. So we took gold off our currency, and today my $20 bill will not buy the tie that I'm wearing,
right,
but a $20 gold coin is worth over $1,600, and it will buy this suit, and I will have money left over. So gold. So imagine if we saw that change in the back. So it wasn't a change in gold necessarily. Gold changed because there was a change in the value of the dollar, the purchasing power. So you can create more dollars out of thin air, and anytime you create more of something, it dilutes that something.
Sure.
So we're creating so much money and so much debt right now that at some point in time, that's going to go down a lot faster. So you have to hedge yourself. It's like Steve has said, the teeter-totter. Get some money on the other side of this so that as dollars go down, as debt comes full fruition and the things we've been talking about, gold rises and it offsets. It's a financial insurance policy, not one that you're going to go to the grocery store.
Right, right.
One that hedges yourself against devaluation, the cost of living, things like
that. Kind of
like
a counterbalance, right, exactly. And so, and then Forrest said this, China and Russia are holding gold. They may be able to collapse our currency. We're vulnerable. Is the USA building its gold hoard currently, or are we the only country that's not really taking that seriously?
Well, we have 8,800 tons plus of gold. We hold the most amount of gold in the world. At least that's the report, but it's not been, we haven't had an update in the report since the 70s, and nobody's gone inside Fort Knox since the 60s. So it'd be simple. Report how much gold we have an independent audit. It would bring immediate confidence to our debt structure and the dollar, and none of this would be in question anymore, but they don't want to do that. So it leaves it to less than that. If it's not that good of a news, if it was great news, you would think you would want to release that.
Sure, of course.
If it's not that, anything less than that, it's got to be detrimental. And this is what many economists have believed why they're not willing to report our gold holdings in a third-party audit on our books in Fort Knox. So that is why, you know, if they do this thing called a bail-in to suffice all the debt structure, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, cash in the bank won't save you or be the hedge against all that.
Yeah.
That's why it's really important to get some gold in the portfolio. Gold went up 13% this year, year to date so far, according to CNBC. The news just came out. So it's a great asset to hold. We're just started a bull market. And if things get worse, and many economists, billionaires are saying that, central banks are saying that, if this makes any sense or resonates with your spirit, just diversify, get some gold, put a portion to 7, a portion to 8, because you don't know what tragedy may befall you. And if something drastic does happen, you'll be very thankful you had some money in gold. In fact, at that point, you wish you would have a lot more money in
gold. Yeah, because you have a counterbalance to the regular market. Do you think that the government would ever outlaw gold possession again and just say, oh, sorry, you can't have it?
They've done that in 1933 and made it illegal till 1959, both in silver and gold, 34 in silver. There's a law called Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917. In fact, I have a pamphlet right here in my hand called 10 Common Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Physical Precious Metals. Call my company, get it. It will address that issue, and I also have another report addressing that issue. To answer your question, I think the United States, when they're dire and we head towards Greece, they will do anything to avoid a full-blown economic collapse.
Yeah, I wouldn't take anything off the table.
Bail-ins, that involves confiscation of bullion products, yes. That's why most of my clients don't buy bullion, because they want to safeguard their money. That's the purpose of buying gold.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why gold coins?
Because gold coins, not new gold coins, but old gold coins, minted prior to 1933, the law completely is clear on this, that they are exempt from confiscation. And so if the bullseye is, I want to put my money in gold to get my money safe, I love my country, I don't like where it's headed financially, present-day, modern-day coins called American Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, those are all bullion products by law. They're not exempt from confiscation. And historically, they grow less than the other products, too.
Yeah, so again, we're not talking about you need some gold so you can go buy your groceries and fill up your gas tank. And we're talking about having physical gold, and we're talking about taking possession of it, and we're talking about having a balance on the other end of the teeter-totter. Or the other word picture I had is you have your sail up above the sailboat, which is stocks and bonds, mutual funds, typical stuff. But what do you have under the sailboat? It's not a sailboat if it doesn't have ballast, if it doesn't have something underneath the counterbalance, and that's what the precious metals is for. How can people get this type of information and education, David? Super important.
Yep, they can do the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or go to landmarkgold.com. Make sure you ask for the report on how you can roll over your IRA into physical gold and take possession of it with no tax.
Excellent. David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. Always great to have you on. Thank you for your expertise and for helping us out today.
My blessings to you, my brother.
Thanks,
Thank you,
buddy.
For your
Stand by right there. We'll pray after the show's over. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.